This is George L. Landon speaking on What Death at Scripture. We're very happy to again be able to bring to you a message from God's Word. Among the last words written by the Apostle Paul are these, found in 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Here a definite reward is promised to all those who love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the outstanding event of prophecy. During the First World War, there was a great revival of interest in the prophetic portions of God's Word. This led to a great increase in premillennial teaching, that is, that Christ will return before the millennium. I well remember that it was during that period I first heard the blessed truth of the imminent return of the very one who had saved me. It became to me, as I am sure it is to you, dear listener, a blessed hope. Now, nearly 50 years after, I must ask myself the question, do I believe in the second advent of Christ with the same joyous warmth and fervor that I did then? Or has constant familiarity with the doctrine dulled my apprehension of it? You know there is a great difference between holding a doctrine and being held by it, between defending a doctrine and expecting a person, between debating on the subject and heart delight in anticipation of the Lord's return. Does the truth affect our daily lives? Think of the importance of the truth that Jesus Christ is actually coming again. What a tremendous event. Think of what that coming will mean to both saints and sinners. We're ever in need of the Word, exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Let us consider several attitudes we should take in regard to His coming. First, we should be loving His appearing. This truth must grip the heart as well as the intellect. Do we hope that He will come today? Or would we prefer that He did not? God forbid that any should take the attitude of the evil serpent who said within his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming," and gave himself over to oppression and self-indulgence. The secret of loving his appearing is to love the one who is coming. If there is a bridal affection for Christ, we will indeed love his appearing and sing, "Oh, the blessed joy of meeting, all the desert past, all the wondrous words of greeting, he shall speak at last. He and I together entering those bright courts above, he and I together sharing all the Father's love." Those who love their Lord's appearing will be looking and longing for that event. In Hebrews 9:28 we read, "And unto them that look for him shall he appear, the second time without sin unto salvation." The true believer yearns to see the one he loves and to look into his blessed face. It is not merely a longing to be free from the trials and tribulations of earth. That is to have but a selfish interest in the blessed hope. We should long to see him for what and who he is, our Savior and our Lord. We should long to see him glorified in the scene of his humiliation and rejection. Again, loving his appearing will surely result in our laboring for him. This was the attitude of the Thessalonian Christians who had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. This was a labor of love, for love ever delights to serve its object. As J.M. Darby wrote, "Lord, let me wait for thee alone, my life be only this, to serve thee here on earth unknown, then share thy heavenly bliss." We serve him by serving his own, as we read in Matthew 25:40. "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Let us seize opportunities for serving the Lord's people, for many need the ministrations of comfort, encouragement, and mercy. We may also serve our Lord by seeking to make him known to the unsaved. Think of the multitudes crowding the road to destruction. Think of the great price Christ at his first advent paid for their redemption. Think of the eternal doom of the unsaved. For the Christian, the return of Christ is a blessed hope. To the Christ rejecter, it is the end of hope, as it is clearly revealed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Unto such, God will send strong delusion, so that they should believe the devil's lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The opportunities for hearing the gospel of salvation are very unusual in this present hour, but they may end very, very suddenly. What we yet do for the Lord, we may have to do quickly. In the next place, we observe that loving his appearing will aid us in learning of him. A study of the prophetic scriptures gives us a true appraisal of this present world system. It brings before us some pertinent facts and questions. Let me note several. If Jesus Christ is coming again, then he is not here now. Where is Christ now? He is in heaven, where Stephen saw him on the right hand of God. He was once here on earth. Why is he not here now? Because he was taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. Yes, earth rejected him, denied his claims, and despised his grace. Why is the Holy Spirit now in the world? Because Jesus Christ said that when he returned to the Father, he would pray the Father to send another Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, that he might abide with them. What is the Spirit doing in this world? He is convincing the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Perhaps you inquire, what sin is so heinous as to require one person of the Trinity to be on earth to convince men of it? Some may be surprised at the answer. It is not murder, robbery, or a violation of the seventh commandment. The laws of God and man, as well as of common decency, convict of these. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, of sin because they believe not on me. That is the crowning sin. The present troubled condition of the world is the result of the rejection of the Son of God. During the First World War, a bomb exploded on a street in London, killing several persons and wrecking much property. An aggressive unbeliever witnessing it said to a Christian worker standing near him, that, sir, after 2,000 years of the preaching of Jesus Christ. To which the Christian promptly replied, that, sir, after 2,000 years of the rejection of Jesus Christ. And he gave the true picture rather than the other. Learning of Christ in the Scriptures gives us the true appraisal of much of this world's religious system. Let me read the opening verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. This also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Practically every item in this dark list, with the exception of the form of godliness, is found in the black catalog of sins that characterize the pagan world, as found in the first chapter of Romans. But in the passage just read, they are reproduced within professing Christendom in the last days, the perilous times which are now upon us. I am sure that as we read the list, you realize that such terms as lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, without natural affection, quite accurately describe many in the sphere of Christian profession. And finally, we find that loving his appearing involves loathing all that is contrary to him. Love makes us keen of vision and enables us to look at the scene around us through the eyes of the one we love, the Lord Jesus. It determines our attitude toward this world system. To love the appearing of our blessed Lord draws the heart away from the world with all of its attractions and vain allurements, as well as saving us from its doom. Let us remember John's description of the world and its content. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love for the world is displaced by a greater love. Dark, dark world, I would not stay amid thy painted scenes of splendor. I hasten toward the golden day, thy tinsel treasure I surrender, dark, dark world. And this love separates us from evil, as we see in 1 John 3:2. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. All that is contrary to the one who is coming, the true Christian renounces. Yes, the love is appearing as very practical results. May this love fill our hearts. Then may we sing, hope of our hearts, O Lord, appear. Thou glorious star of day, shine forth and chase the dreary night with all its tears away. This is George M. Landis speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.